There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And you and I hanging out for this hour. And then you and I and our buddy Cam Marston with What's Working Special Edition starts at 1 o'clock. We'll talk more about his show coming up in just a little bit. Plus, you heard her last night. She's going to join us today. Jennifer Boozer from Canabama and Sweet Home Canabama, the radio show. She's going to be on with us talking about how her business is navigating what's going on right now in this economy. We talked about different small businesses. And we're featuring what's happening in the CBD. Here's something that just CBD world, what, the last 2 years, it's become a huge, huge part of the conversation out there. And now these stores, are they essential? Do they stay open? Can people go in there? I don't know. And by the way, too, as much as things change, some stay the same. Dalton, I don't know exactly what it was because I know you listened to a good bit of it. And we're going to get some clips here in a second from Mobile Mayor Sandy Simpson. But I saw a tweet here from our buddy John Sharp from AL.com. He said, the Government Plaza Auditorium acoustics seem to be part of the problem. We've had more problems with getting audio and video out of the... And they just had now started getting it closer to being tolerable to... Now they're having trouble. John goes on Twitter to say, Mobile needs to improve the way it holds remote meetings like this. Probably should do what Birmingham did today, a small meeting with good acoustics where council members could hear everything. So should the Mobile City Council meeting, since they're doing social distancing and all this, should they go to kind of a Zoom? What if they did a Zoom? We did a Zoom meeting this morning for the station. What if we had, like, picture, like, if we're looking at this, we're going to go online and consume what's happening from the city council meeting. You could have, like, the Brady Bunch or Hollywood Squares, all the squares up there, like, on a Zoom meeting, and you could have individual city members of the city council on the, you know, in their own square. You could hit it and maximize that one. You could restructure where they are on the page, do all that. And then if you had special guests or somebody speaking wanted to address the council, they'd come flying in on another window. Might get used to that. Might get used to that. And we'll talk about this in just a second. Also coming up on today's show, we'll take a look at, and we'll get started with, like we always do, the numbers out there as they continue to climb, even though maybe we're seeing, at least nationally, this week, maybe the peak or the plateau before we start hopefully descending in number of cases of coronavirus out there. The numbers up from the Alabama Department of Public Health, and the new number, 2,000, and let's see, is that, it just went up since 30 minutes ago. Wow. 2,063 confirmed cases in the state of Alabama, 14,765 tests that have been given, and 39 having died from coronavirus in our state. And with that being said, we'll mention that the group of public safety folks, the Mobile Police Department, Mobile Fire Rescue, folks that were tested here, we talked about them last week, and the 30 members of the MPD that had positive tests for the antibodies for coronavirus, those folks then went in for the swab test. Remember, they had the antibodies, meaning they had been exposed, but only one of them was ill at the time. They've gone through the swab process, and it's pretty interesting. We pulled the stats out of this, and I want to do that. We'll roll to the audio here. Here's Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson addressing this a little earlier this morning about that testing. Listen to this.
The Ladd Stadium site is up and running as of yesterday. That, along with the two diagnostic and medical centers, we now have three, I'm going to call them off-site locations where citizens are being tested. And when I look back on what was going on prior to that, and we've had limited testing going on by our hospitals for probably 3 weeks. When I say limited testing, it was if you were sick, if you were very sick and they were suspicious that you were corona positive, they would give you what's called the PCR test. That's the nasal swab. So there's a perception we've had no testing going on in the community for 3 weeks, but we have. But you should see it starting to escalate from this point on. I'd also remind you that I believe that the city of Mobile was among the very first to receive the rapid serum test. That is the antibody test that you've heard so much of. You prick your finger, take the blood sample, and they can determine if you have antibodies present, which means that your body has started to develop an immunity. It was so new, there was really no protocol developed on how to use the test. And so the protocol actually, I think that the hospitals and doctors in the city of Mobile, along with Director Barber, determined how to best use that. So as a part of an offshoot to that, and there are two offshoots, one is that we have tested 900 of the city of Mobile's first responders, 900. Of the 900, only 37 of them were tested positive for the antibodies, and in their body was developing an immunity, or had developed an immunity. Of those, there were only a couple who were symptomatic, had any symptoms that something may be amiss. So as we did that, 900, there were 37 who tested positive. Of those 37, only three, upon taking the PCR test, the nasal swab, were determined to have an active coronavirus. The arithmetic on that is only 4% of our first responders had the antibodies present, indicating they had developed or they would had developed an immunity or in the process of possibly developing immunity to the virus. If you think about only 3 out of 900 actually had the virus when they took the nasal test, that is 0.3%. That is 0.3% of 900 individuals that we tested, which is probably the closest thing to what we're looking at in our community. I mean, it's not going out in the street and randomly testing people, but you would have to assume that our policemen and firemen are representative, pretty representative of our community. Matter of fact, you could say that they probably come in contact with more people than others in the community.
All right, so that clip from Brother, I don't know, did somebody just break in on the meeting there, the audio?
That's what I believe John Sharp was talking about, the acoustics of the room. No telling how far away that person was.
And you could hear.
And you hear cell phones going off the entire time, but okay. But not as bad as audio used to be.
Yeah, it's getting better, but it's still bad. All right, let's talk about what was just broken down. Dalton Orwig joining me in the studio. What Mayor Sandy Stimson had to say there, I think, is a takeaway. Now, do I think the 900 people inside the police department are a true sample of the populace? Probably not, but it's maybe one of the better things we have to work off right now. So 900 tested. 37 out of 900 showed the antibodies. I mean, they were sick, but they've been exposed at some level that they developed the antibodies to COVID-19.
Correct.
Right. Out of those, maybe two symptomatic, three symptomatic there, and so three had three cases of active coronavirus. So if we whittle that down from 900 to three.
I believe the percentages that the mayor threw out there were that 0.3% of all the first responders that were tested, 900, 0.3% tested positive for COVID-19 using the nasal swab. And it was something like 4% that had the antibodies that were tested for in their blood. And when we're talking about this testing, the best true way, and I'm no statistician, but the best true way to get a handle on how many people are being affected by this right now would be a large random sample.
Yes.
And the larger the better. If they were able to right now snap their fingers and test 20,000 Americans, whether they have symptoms or not, or
it's completely random.
Just completely random.
Mm-hmm.
Then we would have a pretty good idea about how this virus is affecting us as a community, whether it's a large community or down to the smaller community. So what the mayor was saying there is by going ahead and testing 900 first responders, that's about as close to a random sample as we can get at this moment,
right.
unless they held a true to see how many people had
it. Okay, well, I will argue this, though, that what we're seeing in the stories out of a New York or Washington State, or really, let's talk about Louisiana, you see localized mm-hmm. issues where one area has it worse than the other. So I would say, I would like to see that random test given, like for Mobile and Baldwin counties, just like you said, snap your fingers right now, let's take that random sample across the line and see how many people have this so we can see what it is in our area, because it may be more prevalent or less prevalent in another area.
Right.
But here it would be, and yeah, I don't believe, like you're saying, that 900, this is not a real scientific test, but gosh, this is the best stuff we've had to work off yet. And to me, you got to ask this question, as we've shut down so much in business out there and so much of our lives, using this information right now, which I know is not the full scientific test, but if you did, you're looking at 0.3%. 4% have the antibodies, 0.3% are sick.
And just as big of a question is the first responders that tested positive for the antibodies, he said there were 37 of those, and 3 of those tested positive for currently having the virus with the nasal swab. Does that mean that those people that tested positive for the antibodies had already had the virus and had no idea, and it had already passed through their systems? Did it mean that maybe they were about to experience worse symptoms? I would believe not if they tested negative for the actual nasal
right.
swab
so
test.
It shows that they've been exposed to it, but do they currently have it? The nasal swab test showed only 3 currently had it.
Right, and as we see more stats come out, where I think the number last week, they were saying anywhere from 25 to 50% of people that do contract COVID-19 never show any symptoms. Now, that's a huge number, 25 to 50%, but it does show that the number of people that it might have actually come into contact with the virus could be and probably is much larger than current tests are able to show. But it also, the lethality of COVID-19 could also be a lot lower than they originally projected.
Well, remember, we've been saying for a while that if you look at the fatality rate, you're looking at the number of tested people versus a fatality rate. Somebody who is very sick is going to go get the test. They're going to get the test. That skews the whole sample because it's overly represented by people that are very sick. Mm-hmm. And if you pull the fatality rate off that, you're getting a skewed number. Once again, this is not to diminish what's going on in the fight and the people that are dead right now because of this, but it's to look at percentages and risk, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. That's what governments from a federal level, state level, and a municipal level are doing. They're weighing risk. And this small sample is just at least a thought starter in a discussion. I don't think it says what, you know, the God's honest truth, no arguing with it, but it does bring up a discussion.
And what Mayor Stimson said there at the beginning of that clip is what's happening in so many communities right now. Because the number of tests are and were extremely limited, they're now less limited, but the only people who are getting tested for the nasal swab test right now, unless you're able to come across a test and just a check to make sure you're fine, but for the most part, Americans are only doing that test if they truly feel that they have coronavirus, if they're
right.
really sick, or if they're showing these symptoms.
It's a high-graded sample.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We come back, I want to talk more about this, because at the same time that this is rolled out, and this discussion showing basically 0.34% had the antibodies, 0.3% out of the 900 were sick, you have the mayor and staff going there with Chief Batiste and others talking about the enforcement mechanism behind the curfew for the city of Mobile. It seems to be some dichotomy here in the discussion, and we'll get into it when we return right here on Midday Mobile. Text lines open for you at 343-0106. Phone calls as well. Also, later this hour, Jennifer Boozer from Canabama is going to join us. And Cam Barston, What's Working Special Edition starts at 1, like we do every Tuesday and Thursday from here, well, until we don't need to do it anymore.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'm glad to have you along here. I just want to, before we get into more comments from Mayor Stimson from earlier presenting to the city council meeting, Mobile City Council approved fines for Mobile's curfew law and ordinance. Now, I mean, after we went through all this talking about, yeah, this is part of the shutdown. And, you know, people have texted me, and I've just got a second, y'all, that have said, I don't understand how curfew prevents coronavirus. Y'all, I had the same question when it first came out. I've been told by more than one person it's about resources, about public safety resources. It's about giving them, and I don't know why, but, or, you know, maybe some people say it could prevent a party, but you can have a party during the day. Nobody's, you know, at their normal, no, that's not right. There's a lot of people not at their normal gigs mm-hmm. right now. So I've been told by folks in law enforcement it's about trying to rest up the resources for law enforcement. But they voted today at City Council, and here it is. Your violation will cost you $100 for your first offense if you're out, if you don't fit one of the described parameters. It means you can be out after curfew. If you're out from 10 p.m. till 5 a.m., tickets $100 for your first offense, $200 for your second offense. And the stay-at-home order curfew is ongoing now through the, it looks like the end of the month, pretty close to that. Curfew hours 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. So now there's and the Chief Patisse said that if you are, let's see a quote here. Police Chief Lawrence Patisse says, if you're seen out walking or driving between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m., you can expect an officer to ask where you're heading. Also said you have to have some sort of documentation to prove you have a legitimate reason to be out. But we just talked, this is why this stuff is so ham-fisted and is messed up, because we talked about it last week after the mayor's presser, and he said one of the things, if you were traveling from your home outside the city mm-hmm. to go somewhere, or outside the city coming back in, that was okay.
Right.
Even if you're after curfew. Well, how are you going to have documentation that I'm heading up to Washington County or something?
I'm heading to take care of grandma or take care of the grandkids.
Where do you have the documentation for that? I worry about this because I worry about our folks in law enforcement having to deal with things that are gray, mm-hmm. right, in enforcement. All right. More cuts that you got from the meeting. This one, Mayor Stimson talked about the price of the kits.
Yeah, he was talking about how the city of Mobile, he and his team, have been trying to acquire these testing kits and what the market's looking like out there.
Well, somehow we lost that. There we go. Let me start that from the beginning. Push the right button. Let's try it there. Now, push this button.
The second offshoot to the rapid serum test is that because they've become recognized as being a tool in the toolbox of determining where the infection is, the prices tremendously escalated. Yesterday, we were chasing down an offer to buy these kits for $75 a kit. Per prick or kit. When we got them originally, it was $15. The Synergy Labs, Brad Pitts, purchased 5,000 and gave them to the city of Mobile for our first responders, and he gave some to the hospitals for their health officials. He didn't charge a dime for those. Right? Last night we got a call from Brad Pitts at Synergy, said he has located almost the identical test kit, which we were pricing at $75 yesterday, which really makes it almost cost prohibitive, but he found kits for $14. So today, as we're speaking, we're issuing a purchase order for 6,000 kits at $4 to be determined how they, and it will be determined in conjunction with Brad, you know, how they will be best be used. To me, that's all real good news, because there are a lot of people that have some degree of exposure that we would like to test, and we'll work out how that will actually be done.
So they jacked it up by how much?
He said they were originally pricing these tests at $15 a kit. And I believe he's talking about the antibodies test.
Right, and then it went to 75?
And they checked yesterday in $75, but Synergy Labs, I guess, was able to find some for $14. So it sounds like City Mobile trying to get 6,000 more of those. But when we're talking about these markets and how they can change when so many people are wanting to buy these tests, that's how crazy it got, $15 to $75.
All right, one last cut here.
Yeah, and this is basically Mayor Stimson talking about where we stand right now with the stay-at-home order and what we can expect in the future.
Meantime, I would just remind everybody, based on the things that we know, some of the things have not changed, and that is if you will stay at home, I'll say it one more time, if you will stay at home, you're probably not going to be exposed to the virus. And so limit your interaction with all individuals. I think that the city council realizes this may be our last face-to-face meeting, which is an effort to make sure that we do limit the number of people that we come in contact with you. I believe that across the nation, there are so many positive things happening with the identification of medicines that can be used to fight the virus, with the ventilators that are being developed, ventilators that are being now shipped from the West Coast to the East Coast because they're not in use. And I am very, very hopeful that as we get through the next week or 10 days in the city of Mobile, that we will have reached our peak and that we will start determining how do we go back and resume a sense of normalcy in our day-to-day activities. We're not there yet, but we need to start thinking about how we'll do that. So thank everybody for what you're doing. I hope each other have a blessed Easter. I know that there are a lot of people concerned that they can't go to church on Easter, but thanks to Governor Ivey, there is a way for you to attend Easter services in your car. I'm aware of one congregation whose pastor is going to probably be up in there in a bucket truck speaking to his congregation who will all be parked in cars. Just because we can't be in church on Easter does not mean that we can't pray. And I really believe that this may be one of those Easters when even though we're not in church, there may be more praying going on this Easter, and there's no reason for it not to be, than any Easter in our life. So please keep that in mind. God bless each and every one of you.
All right, so a little bit from today's city council meeting. Thought it was interesting takeaways there. But the stats, I mean, understand, I'm sure there'll be somebody already on social media claiming it's a full scientific sample. It is not. It's 900 first responders, but it's one of the better samples we have to work from instead of having a high-graded sample using one that's not all people that are already sick. All right, Jennifer Boozer from Canabama joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. Superbomb on the text line said, is that not price gouging for those test kits? One of the discussions that you'll find under our COVID-19 local news tab is one I had with Daniel Smith. He was an economist, economics professor at Troy. He's now at Middle Tennessee State University, and sharp guy. And we talked about price gouging and the rule. You really have to, you have to go above and beyond to be busted on price gouging, Supermom. Even though, I mean, that seems like it's incredible where the test went from $15 to $75. But there has to be, we all understand it too simply. If the widget normally costs a dollar and somebody charges $2 during a time of crisis, it's price gouging. Yeah, and maybe not. There's a lot of nuance to the law, and things have to be checked off there. So quite possibly, Supermom, that's just fine. It's not price gouging. So anything, it can't be simple. I'm with you. If you charge more during the thing, that would define as price gouging, even though I'm a person that argues that price gouging should be allowed. That's a whole nother show, a whole nother discussion. But it's not as simple as just charging more for it. It has to fit a whole suite of definitions. All right. I mentioned that as we show you here on Monday nights, Jennifer Boozer and the Sweet Home Canabama show is joining us right now on Midday Mobile. And ladies and gentlemen, she is here in studio. Hey.
Hey. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. I know we'll talk some CBD, but I also want to talk about the perspective of a small business person in our area and dealing with this and negotiating what every day is a new story for business out there.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many new things to consider. Just to make a little point to what you were just talking about, as business owners, we're facing new expenses. you know, buying gloves and masks and hand sanitizer that we didn't normally have to have.
That's right.
Just to deal with the public, you know. Additional advertising that is letting people know where we are, what we're doing, having to add
open.
New services. Yeah, that we're open. We get calls every day, every day.
That's one of the messages that you and so many of the folks here at FM Talk 106.5 that advertise with us are saying, hey, we're open.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because listen, the news cycle, Jennifer, the news cycle is we're this is closed, that's closed, people are, you know, not going to work. So it gets to be this snowball builds, and I think people sit at home and go, everything's closed.
Right. I need to go and buy some furniture for a personal thing, and I don't know if anything's open.
They said, now, Governor Ivey last week, or even the previous week, when they specifically said furniture stores would be closed. I don't know why. But what defines a furniture store? I mean, is...
Right.
If you get... Let's talk about Walmart. Walmart's right. open. Walmart has furniture. Well, wait a second. So you've told the local business that sells furniture they can't do it.
Right.
But Walmart... that sells furniture can.
Right, exactly.
So, but in your, so with your store, with Canabama, y'all fall under the not defined essential business. How do you navigate that?
You know, our customers consider us essential. We have people come in every single day and message us every single day and say, please don't close. Mm-hmm. Please don't close. I need to be able to come in. And y'all are essential, and it's really sweet.
Yep.
Because we know there's so many people out there that don't take what we do seriously, or they don't like it, you know, for whatever reason. But our customers are voicing this very loud and clear. We're essential to their daily life. I know that being able to have access to CBD is essential to me, mm-hmm. and that's not going to be a problem for me. I might end up with a store full of it and nothing to do with it, or shipping it from the house, you know. But, you know, we're trying to be safe. We're trying to limit the amount of people in the store.
And you can do that, right? You can social distance.
We don't, I mean, you know, if it's not a crazy Friday night 50% off sale, there's not going to be more than 4 or 5 people in the store at any given time.
And everybody can just stay back.
Yeah.
But you and I are, you know, 7 feet away from each other right here. They could do that
in
the store.
It's not that difficult. And we offer curbside.
Okay,
we
you
offer
do.
For local delivery. No one's asking for curbside and delivery yet. They want to come and see our faces. They no, want to come in the store.
That's a good piece of information for me. So y'all do curbside
Absolutely.
And you do local delivery.
We have
delivery.
For weeks, but no one has ever used it.
Let's talk. Well, get ready.
I know.
Get ready. So that process would be they just get on the phone with you and say,
yeah,
here's what
they can call in, or they can even order online and say they want local pickup, and we can have it ready. They could pay over the phone, and we'll just have it ready. We can leave it out on the curb if they don't want to take it from our hands.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of your customers who have been with you a long time, kind of already know
Absolutely.
what they want.
Yes, yes.
They're going to get the regular.
Right. And we also are willing to do phone consultations. You know, we ask that when people call in, if they can't get an answer and they, you know, leave a voicemail, you could text the number to the store and we'll get the message. We will call you back. We have alternative numbers we can use. I'm willing to do video conferencing, you know, like you said earlier with Zoom.
Zoom, yeah.
We love Zoom. We do Zoom meetings because... We're open 7 days a week, and I have stores in three you know, two parts of Mobile and in Hoover. We have to meet.
Yes.
And we just did a Zoom the other day for the first time with the whole crew, and it was quite amusing.
All right. So somebody who is one of your customers or somebody who might be a potential customer needs not worry right now.
Not right now. I mean, not as far as we are concerned. No one has called me or come to see me and said, hey, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. Right now, it's all voluntary. You know, as far as we're kind of following what everyone's doing, what they're suggesting that we do, we don't want anyone to not come in because they are immune compromised or not, you know, have what
yeah,
they
need. Yeah,
that's
going to be some of your clientele as well.
Absolutely. We have a lot of clientele that are immune compromised or their children are, and they can't leave the house. We're shipping. You know, we have an online store. We had not had an online store for a long time, but we got this website up at the end of January, early February.
Oh, what timing.
I know. Well, and it's still like, okay, y'all, it's out there. But people really like to come into the stores.
Well, and I get that, but, you know, they may be for your business and so many other mm-hmm. out there, that they won't be able to do that right. at the same level. Either they're going to be restricted by government, or people are just going to be like, I don't want to expose, or mm-hmm. I don't want to get exposed and expose an older family member or somebody who's immunocompromised.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So having this online presence, because this is something we were talking about in a meeting today, this idea that it's only these big Amazon and Walmart.com, and those are the only places that do online, you know, that do e-commerce. That's foolish.
No.
There's so many businesses like yours, local businesses that have e-commerce presence.
And especially in the CBD space, more people are always shocked that I don't have a big e-commerce presence. I was too busy. I was too busy doing the teaching and the classes, and it wasn't necessary and until it got to the point where we were expanding and you know, people want to be able to order. Now that we have so many regulars that travel from other areas, you know, they want to be able to just order it and have it shipped and get their cousin in Oklahoma to get the same thing.
But yeah, I think what this is, these kind of situations, they move technology and people to a new place.
Absolutely. And I am not tech savvy. I hate it.
But you're getting you're getting forced into it.
Yeah. I have someone that helps me out a lot. And you know, I never use the internet for anything but Facebook and emails. So, you know, everything I do is new. So, but we're being forced to move into new areas. You know, delivery is something I've always wanted to do. Now I have to do it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I have to do it.
You've been toying with the idea. And
yeah.
I think what you're dealing with in your business, there's a bunch of people nodding their head out there, whatever they sell.
Right.
And they're like, yep, I'm right where Jennifer is because we're having to change.
And the logistics of it, who knows? We're just winging it. We're just winging it.
It's the best way to learn it.
I mean, for me, you know, fortunately for me, and I say that with so much sarcasm, I signed on to two leases in Hoover and in Montgomery for new stores 1 week before all this happened.
Wow.
And I haven't even gotten to Montgomery. And Hoover was barely open, and that shelter in place just, man, killed us. But we're curbside there. We're delivery there.
Let's talk about the website, too, before we run to the break. Your website is?
Cannabama.com. Very easy. Cannabama.
And they can go through there, and if they're already one of your customers, they know what they want, but they can go through and select. And then if they got a question.
And if they have any questions at all, they are welcome to call the store, and we're there 7 days a week.
All right. So there's always going to be somebody there to answer your questions. So you've got quite a footprint here, though. We've talked about, you started right here in Mobile County.
Right.
And now you are like...
Now I'm in Jefferson County. We're going to be opening in Montgomery on Vaughan Road just as soon as we can justify spending the money for furniture and products. But it's a scary thing.
All right, so when we come back, we'll talk more about CBD as well,
sure.
but the business side of it, because I think what you're experiencing with Cannabama,
everybody's going through it on some level.
Whatever
everybody.
You're selling, you're dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming right back, we'll grab your text as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, a reminder, coming up at 1 o'clock, we're doing it every Tuesday and every Thursday here at FM Talk 106.5. It's What's Working with Cam Marson, special edition, answering questions for folks like Jennifer, like myself, for small business folks, or people who work for small businesses all over. Cam's tackling those subjects and getting interviews with people in the know. Speaking of new pieces of information, something Cam and I were bouncing back and forth today in an email form, or a text form, it all blends together, is a story we put up on our Facebook page, and I want you to check that out if you have not had a chance to. We talk so much about the CARE Act, and in the CARE Act, the one-time payments, which I've got a lot of questions about today, those checks or those direct deposits are supposed to happen starting in the next 2 weeks, according to Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, and then the checks... You could get checks as late as September out of that. And we talk about the small business loan portion. But another part of this as well is the 401k and 403b penalty-free up to $100,000 removal. You could go into your IRA, your 401k, and take up to $100,000 out without the penalties, without the taxes, as long as it's paid back within 3 years. Really good read for a lot of folks. I want you to check it out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Chester, maybe I'll see if I can share that with somebody and get it straight to Archbishop Rohde. Chester had said maybe they could suspend the Archbishop from the Moon Pie downtown on Easter Sunday so he could perform Mass down there. I don't know. Hey, by the way, a big loss here. A big loss was the fact that we let our drive-in movie theaters go away. Not just a nostalgia thing. Think about if you had a drive-in theater you could bring back online, or maybe you could do it in a big parking lot at one of the malls where people couldn't go, and you could have the little speaker things that would hook up to the vehicle. You just do it with I am not volunteering to do any radio work, but you could certain frequencies are available. You could have a small wattage FM transmitter that tunes into a certain frequency that's available there, have all the vehicles pull in, and you could have everybody more than 6 feet apart in their vehicles, and then do Easter Sunday services that way. Just an idea. I mean, it's not as dramatic as Chester's idea, which having the Moon Pie dropping down with the Archbishop on it, but I'm just saying, if you could, even though we don't have drive-in theaters, you could do it in a big mall parking lot. It's just an idea. Hey, we're talking ideas as well with Jennifer Boozer from Canabama, our guest, small business person, also in the world of CBD, and a woman in the world of CBD, which is a world that's been kind of male-dominated.
Absolutely. Most of the people that I deal with are men.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know that there's a lot more women in states like California and Colorado where they've been, there's been a cannabis industry for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, I ran into another woman ironically in Nashville, Tennessee. I heard someone say, well, I'm from Alabama. And I turned around and it was another store owner. And I ironically now own the store that she owned. I just took it over. But I hadn't met another woman. And it was really exciting to get to see another woman in the business. Cannabis requires a lot of nurturing. It's about self-care. It's about caring for your family, your health. And, a lot of the times women make 80% of those decisions for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely takes a lot of time and attention to teach people, and women are naturally good teachers. And so I think that, it is definitely strange to deal with a lot of men, just men everywhere. Not that there's anything wrong. I'm not a man hater. I'm not a feminist, anything like that. But, sometimes, every once in a while, there comes along one that talks to you like a silly woman, and it's real irritating.
So that exists in the world of CBD as much as it does elsewhere.
100%, absolutely.
Let's talk about this. You talk about the woman's perspective on this and being a teacher and mm-hmm. all that. What percentage of your clients tell, if you know, that walk in through the door that already know, I want one of those and one of those and one of those, or how many walk in to go, here's my issue, how do we help?
Oh man, if it's their first time, 99% of them need some kind of guidance.
Okay, they don't walk in and because if I walk into certain stores and stuff like that, I know I want this kind of fishing reel, I want that rod, I want that lure.
Right, because it's something you're familiar with.
Right.
Most people have no idea. Even people who think they know cannabis, who are cannabis consumers in other ways, they don't understand the concept of what even the products that we carry are. And so there is a tremendous amount of education. Every day, I've sat with couples for 4 hours before and just answered question after question after question. I have people have come in for one thing, and then I've been able to show them five or six or eight other things that it could help them with, and then what product would address all the issues for the least amount of money.
Is that the question, that here's the issue, which kind of CBD works on this, or is it also, I hear you talking on your show about sublingual, edible.
Yes, the method of consumption matters. It depends on what your ailment is, what your issue is, what you're trying to address,
So the same dosage, I'm going to use the wrong term here.
I'm not allowed to use the word dose.
Okay,
serving.
So same serving. Okay, same amount serving that's delivered sublingually or as edible, does it?
Right. No, the bioavailability is very different.
Okay, this is.
Yes.
So the same amount.
Right.
Taken different ways.
Right. If you, just with the oil, there's a huge difference in the bioavailability, meaning the amount of the product that gets to the bloodstream. When you hold an oil under your tongue for a minute or more versus swallowing it right away.
Right.
Because you lose so much in the process of digestion, even when it's mixed with a medium chain triglyceride to help make it, you know, make that pass through the liver and the screening organs, you are going to lose so much potency if you don't hold it in the mouth. When you hold it in the mouth, it goes to the bloodstream through the mucosal membranes, sublingual gland, and it goes to the bloodstream faster, it's more available, and
okay, so
you have a better
amount,
result.
X amount that way. If I'm a frugal person, I'm trying to extend, you know, mm-hmm. I want to get this guy. So the sublingual is going to be, I'm going to get more bang for my buck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm mm-hmm. learning something because I hear y'all talk about the different deliveries and I didn't know
right.
maybe why.
Right. Right. And it's totally different with you know, topical. You have cannabis receptors in the entire surface of your skin. So there's an immediate uptake, but it does not need to, nor does it penetrate deep enough to get to the bloodstream, but it utilizes those receptors in your skin and causes that brain signal that makes it reduce swelling and pain and inflammation and helps with increasing circulation. We call it spot treatment. You rub some on your elbow, it's not going to help your knee, but it's going to be quick and it's going to be very effective.
All right. This is kind of advice you get when you talk to Jennifer or her crew at Cannabama, of course, online. The website?
Cannabama.com.
Delivery, you said?
Delivery, curbside. The stores are still open for now, and we are 7 days a week downtown, 6 days a week in West Mobile, 6 days a week in Hoover, and 7 days a week in Daphne. We now have Daphne, Cannabama Daphne.
It's amazing.
It's formerly Bombay & Company, and Whitney has come on board. She's going to be CFO and help me manage the money because my eyeballs glaze over at the sight of numbers.
Yes.
We're getting ready to change all her signs and everything and bring her on board. She's my co-host of the show sometimes. Yeah. And we just love her. She's the business that I would definitely send my customers to, and she does the same with me because we're in different counties.
Fantastic. So once again, y'all are open.
We are open.
And if somebody is staying at home, they're self-quarantining, they need CBD, they can still
get
it.
We will drop it off in your driveway. We will ship it in your mailbox. We will, whatever you need, we'll get one of those, what are they, I can't think of it, the...
A drone?
Yes, a drone, and drop it in your driveway.
How did I know you meant a drone?
Yeah.
The drone motion there.
Because I'm doing the motion.
That's right, it worked for me. Jennifer, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Boozer from Cannabama, and our guest, and of course you can hear Sweet Home Cannabama on Monday evenings here at FM Talk 106.5, another great local small business navigating this new economy. Speaking of which, we'll talk all about that with Cam Marston, and What's Working Special Edition comes on next.